We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Are you ready for the Word? Come on, are you ready for the Word? I mean, if we can get excited about a football, how much more can we be excited about the things of God? Amen, church? So come on, we're going to pray, and then I want to tell you what I'm praying for. I'm going to pray, but I want you to know what I'm praying for. I'm praying today that this would be a fresh breath of God and a word. There's moments, let me put it this way. There is moments where I believe God, what happens in a moment is only available in that moment. And how well we respond and how well we hear to that moment literally will determine our future. Are you hearing me? Now, I want to say that this is one of those mornings. This is not just another Sunday rolling by, but I believe this is a now moment. Today, as I understand Josh Kelly, at least in our Great Neck campus, all the campuses was overwhelming feedback. But Josh, I heard the word you preached was outstanding and so much feedback from that. So it's just amazing to see what God is doing. A couple of weeks ago, we actually celebrated Sharon and I being here for 20 years as the pastors of what we call Wave Church. The week after that, we celebrated not just the 20 years in the past, but we talked about our future and what the next 20 years looks like. And then, of course, I share with you what the vision of Wave Church looks like. That's what this legacy is all about. I believe God's put a word in my heart for today that's a now word, that literally how well we respond to this will determine not just what happens for the next 12 months, but the start for the next 20 years. So my prayer is today we would hear a word from heaven, and I want to just pray for God's fresh air. Amen? So Lord, we just pray today for fresh air on this message. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, your word says that he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit's saying. Lord, I'm praying today that each of us will be tuned into your voice and there will be fresh air. And everybody said, amen. Come on, every campus, give someone a high five as you're being seated. Praise God. Thank you to everybody who actually has already, after last weekend, has already led us off to a great start in terms of your commitment to legacy. And Josh tells me that was a good response, good start. But today, we're going to just talk about it one more time and give everybody the opportunity to make sure that if this is your church home, we'd love for you to participate in a faith commitment of what we would believe God to do over and above our giving throughout the course of this next 12 months to really see the mission and vision of Wave Church accomplished. And so here's what I want to do. Everybody say, breath of fresh air. Who's ever met someone, and when you meet them, they go, man, they were a breath of fresh air. They just brought something fresh and vibrant into the room. Matter of fact, there's nothing worse than stale air, is there? You know, I don't know about you, but you know, like a bad smell. I said to Josh Kicker, I said, wouldn't it be cool if we could actually somehow get this ability to have like maybe this injection of fresh air with some nice scent to it and then contrast that with the stench. But then I thought, as a pastor, I wouldn't do that to you. I didn't want to afflict your nostrils. And I don't know how we do it. We could do it in this campus. I just don't know how we do it in some of the other campuses. And so my prayer today is that we would have a breath of fresh air. Amen? Something fresh from God. Nothing worse than living on yesterday's manna. Nothing worse than living on yesterday's revelation. And so I was thinking about Solomon, and he actually was seeking, if you like, fresh air. He was looking for freshness. He was looking for meaning. You got to keep in mind who this man was. He was literally the wisest man outside of Jesus in all of Scripture. God gave him wisdom beyond anybody that ever lived before him or after him. And without a doubt, he actually had King David as his father. That's a good start. King David as his father. That's not a bad start. Who's your dad? King David. I mean, you know, that you're talking about the ultimate, you know, ace in your hole. That's it, you know. It's King David. And so think about this. And he actually decides that he is going to allow himself to become the ultimate human experiment to seek pleasure and happiness for excessive pleasures to figure out really what brings meaning and purpose. Already got that? So look what he says in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 14. I've seen all the things that are done under the sun, and all of them are meaningless and a chasing after the wind. Everybody see that? A chasing after the wind. Another translation puts it a little different. It actually puts this spin on it. It says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a vexation of spirit. Well, why did he come to that conclusion? Well, let's read on in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and let's get an insight to what caused him to conclude that. Look what the Bible says in verse 1. I said to myself, come, I will test you with pleasure and find out what is good. Here is King Solomon, wisest man all the world, and he wants to find out what's good. How many think he'd be worth listening to? And he goes, but this also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what is good for people, to what is good to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. Here is Solomon. He's going, it was my mind and my wisdom that was guiding me. So I figured I could be the person that could test the limits of joy and goodness and meaning and satisfaction to give a report, because let's be honest, Solomon was a cut above the rest. His mind guided him. Can you see it? So he's going to take on himself as a human project to help us understand what could actually bring meaning. And it says here, I undertook great projects. I even played for the New York Jets in a Super Bowl. I actually built great buildings and houses and planted vineyards in the Napa Valley. Well, I'm adding a little bit of culture there. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs of water, groves of flourishing trees. I brought male and female slaves, and I had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and princes. I acquired male and female singers, even Lady Gaga. I just watched The Star Is Born. Boy, that girl can sing. I just pray she finds out a true meaning and purpose in Jesus' name. It says there's a harem as well. I mean, I don't think I need to paint any pictures here. What this man is doing, he's seeking satisfaction through the excessiveness of alcohol and fame and fortune and buildings and success. Can you see it? And he goes, and with all the delights of a man's heart, I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. And in all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward of all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve. Watch. Everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. And I started reading and thinking about that. When we actually want to see what is meaning, what is purpose, and what is good, and what is powerful to our lives, we can learn from this passage of Scripture. We can learn that Solomon, the man who had ultimate wisdom from God, still found that when you just live life all about yourself and pleasing yourself and satisfying yourself, no matter how much money, no matter how much fortune, no matter how building a project, no matter how many businesses you've started, no matter how many kids you've had, no matter what you've done and what you've made life to be that which you would measure by success, if you just make it all about you, it is vanity and chasing after the wind. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. So I started looking at these words because I think it's important we understand what he's saying. All is vanity and a vexation of spirit. Vanity means this. Vanity means empty words. Shallow conversations. You know, sometimes in church, we're so good at that, we can play church. We go up to somebody and say, hey, brother, how you doing? We say brother because we don't remember their name, but brother or sister is a good cover-up. And the truth be told, we don't really want to know their name because that would mean going deep. And when we actually just make life about us, we got to be careful we don't live a vain life. Come on, someone say amen. you know, shallow conversations where it's just, you know, you bump up against each other. I think Josh talked about it last Sunday with the different kinds of hugs and all the rest of it. Or here's another thought. Don't use church for you. Right. Don't come to church just to find your wife or your husband. Don't just come to church for some sort of social gathering. Don't just come to church so you can get more business contacts, so you can meet more people to grow your business. You see, my friends, that's what Solomon's talking about in this context. It's you're making life and the church all about you rather than what you can do. People who are vain do everything for themselves. Someone once said to me, "Pastor, I didn't get anything out of the worship today." And I love to answer, "Sorry, we weren't worshiping you." "Pastor, I'm in church for 6 weeks to see if anybody would miss me." "Nobody missed me." That says a whole lot about you. Because he who wants friends must show himself to be friendly. Amen. Or think about this, the word vexation. I looked that up. I want to see what vexation means. Vexation literally means irritation, affliction, or troubling. And when you come to God's house and understands God's purpose for your life, and it's all about you, I want to tell you, church can become very troubling for you. Church can be very irritating for you. Church can be afflicting at times for you. Wait a minute, they want me to go to a community group? They want me to give? They want me to do what? They want me to serve? Amen? What I would say is they're freeloaders. People who come in, they want the air conditioning, they want the music, they want the chair, they want the children's minister to, they want a great word, they want great worship. They come in and they walk out and they do nothing other than make life about yourself. And when you do that, it gets irritating, it gets troubling, and it builds affliction in your life. You see, my friends, we are not called to just live by ourselves and for ourselves. So then I thought, well, what does this word chasing after the wind mean? Because that's interesting. He goes, everything is, it's all vanity. It's meaningless. It's chasing after the wind. And so I did some study on that. And this is literally what it means. Can we check this out? Chasing after the wind literally means exhaled breath. Or another way of putting it is spent breath. It's breath that has been spent. It's exhaled. It was there, but it's gone. And I thought about that, and I thought, how fascinating is this word, exhale breath? In other words, it was something that had life in it, but the life is gone. Or another way of putting it is what Solomon described it in the sense of meaningless. It has no meaning, or it leads to exhaustion and frustration. Another, you'll be shocked by this. One of the meanings of this word that is chasing after the wind is like chasing after cats. You ever tried chasing after cats? You ever tried herding cats? You don't herd cats. They're so independent. And when we live our life like that, our life becomes as meaningless and as chasing after the wind. It's exhaled air. It's spent air. Are you catching it? Here's another meaning. Check this word out. It literally means, in today's world, we'll understand this better than when it was written, but it means fake wind. Yeah. In this world of fake news, at least people calling everything fake news, that it's funny that Solomon, in all those years ago, would say, when I'm making life all about just me, see me, notice me, want to get to know me. When I go to live my life to the excess of trying to find happiness and make life all just about me, it's like fake wind. And what that means is it looks like the real thing, but it isn't. I remember one time I sat down with a young man who met me in my office, and he let me know that he was leaving the church. And I said, "Well, that's okay, man, that's fine. Just, you know, tell me, just make sure you go to another church." And I remember when this man came into that church years and years before, he came in, his marriage was on the edge of a divorce. He moved from another city to try to rebuild his life and heard about Wave Church and sat under the ministry of Wave Church. And he's literally, I remember as he sat under the ministry and community groups and other young couples with strong and healthy marriages, this young man got his life together, got his marriage together. And then he had no job and he got a great job. And then he started getting success and he started started seeing the blessing of God on his life. And I remember I said, look, it's all good, you know, just tell me what church are you going to go to? And he goes, you don't understand, I don't need church. My children have a Christian school. My other child that's going to college is in a Christian college. The company I work for is somewhat of a very strong Christian culture. I don't need church. My friends, that's fake wind. And I believe in all my heart in the power of Christian school. My daughter went to one. I believe in all my heart the power of a Christian college. I think they're amazing. But the day you think you don't need church, my friend, that is chasing after the wind. That is fake wind in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen. And so I just thinking about that, you got to be careful with, you know, when success comes, you can become prideful. You can start thinking you did all this, you made all this, rather than forget, come on, when you make life just about you and you become proud, you become arrogant, you become so self-sufficient that you actually don't think you need the thing that got you to a place of health in the first place. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Here's the next meaning of the word, of this word, chasing after the wind. It means, you ready for this one? It means bad breath. Let's be honest. In every campus, who's honest enough, at some point in time in your life, you've at least once had bad breath. Amen. All right. How many are sitting there? No, don't ask that question. Okay. And but there's nothing better than a friend who will tell you, dude, you need a Tic Tac. That's a real friend. You with me here? And if no one has ever told you that, you need some new friends. Amen? But you know, did you know that when you actually have bad breath, it actually is it's an outward manifestation of potentially a much more serious illness.
Yeah, right.
Did you know that? And here is Solomon going, it's chasing after the wind, it's bad breath. Or another one, I love this one, is stale air. Now, I'm a scuba diver, so I understand there's nothing more important when you're going scuba diving than to make sure that the air in that tank is not stale. If it is stale, it will be toxic. It actually has the ability to kill you. In other words, here is Solomon talking about when you live life all about you and it's just chasing after the wind and it's vain and it's meaningless and you put everything with the filter of what you do for your own satisfaction, it's stale air. It can kill you. Come on, somebody say amen. Just turn to the person next to you and say, he's preaching better than we're listening. So I started thinking about that, and it made me think about when God made Adam. And I thought about the most important scripture in all of creation that talks about the message of creation. And I don't think we understand it in today's world. And here's what the thought is. Everybody say Ruach. Say Ruach. And in Genesis chapter 2, I want to show you something. This is the message, fresh air. Because here's Solomon saying, you don't need exhaled air. You don't need spent air. You don't need bad breath. You don't need fake air. It's all meaningless and chasing after the wind, that which is exhaled, okay? But here in Genesis 2, watch this now. In every campus, I want you to catch this. Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground. Good guys, it's always good to remember that's where we came from. Amen. Guys, we're born in the dirt. That's why men like to go outside. My house, the welcome mat is turned around. It's not welcome indoors, it's welcome to the outdoors. There's nothing better than taking my son Jack, my grandson Jax. Sometimes I think he is my son. And I take him outside and I love to teach him how to pee on the grass. Like all men should learn how to do. That is not common nature to girls, but it is to men. My young son Sam was so tough one time. We're at a father and son camp. And as we were leaving, he said, Dad, I got to pee. I said, Sam, I'm not going all the way back at the campsite. Get out, there's a tree. So Sam got out, peed behind the tree, and then unbeknownst to us, one of our pastors was walking, hiking, and he came up and came across Sam peeing. So of course, he did the right thing. He turned away, but then he looked, he noticed that Sam was peeing on a rattlesnake. That's my son. I was never more proud of my son as I was that moment. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. Watch this. He's laying there but there's yet no life in him. The Bible says there was no breath, there was no air. And it wasn't just breath, because we read that word, but we read about the story about a man died. And the Bible says when he died, it says there was no air in him. There was no breath in him. But it's not talking about air in his lungs. It's talking about the breath of God. You see, Adam was there, but yet there was no spirit in him. The word spirit means air. It means breath. It means the breath of God, the life of God. And what makes you and I alive is not just air in your lungs or blood in your heart. Come on, it's the breath of God that was breathed into us in Genesis chapter 2. And God breathed his spirit into his nostrils and the breath of life. And then, and only then, man became a living being. And what makes you and I alive is the breath of God, the air of God. Come on, somebody say amen. My jewelry is jumping off my wrist in excitement. Adam wasn't alive until God breathed his spirit, air in him, not air, breath, not breath, spirit. What makes you, what makes me alive is the Ruach of God. That's what Jesus put it this way in John chapter 20, verse 22. After he died and he resurrected, he went down into death and into hell and took the keys of hell from Satan, of death and the grave. And the Bible says he then resurrected and went to be with the Father and pled the blood for the forgiveness of sins before all of mankind as an atonement for a sacrifice once and for all. And then he says, Dad, I got to go talk to the dirty dozen. And he comes back on planet Earth and he walks and he talks with them for 30, 60 days. And then as he's about to leave, his ultimate departure, the final ascension where he sits at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says in John 20, verse 22, he looked at them and he says, don't go anywhere till after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then he says in John 20, verse 22, he breathed on them the breath of God. And in that moment, that's when the New Testament and the New Covenant truly kicked in, because we are born again. The vain spirit that God breathed in there, Adam, Jesus, the second Adam, breathed into the disciples, and we're alive today because of the breath of God. Our spirit is alive. Oh, you can walk around, but if you don't know God, there's no breath, there's no Ruah in you. Come on, somebody give me a good amen. I feel like Josh Kelly right now. God breathed afresh. My prayer today is that God would breathe afresh on us. That actually we wouldn't just chase after spent breath. That we would inhale the breath of God. God wants to give us fresh air. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. You see, my friends, look at me. I'm talking to you about this moment of what we're doing as a church. What we do today will determine what will be able to be done as a church in its ministry, in reaching people all over the world by what we do today. But if we just go on what God told us to do yesterday, last year, well, what did we give last year? Well, we'll just do the same. That's living on spent air. That's stale. That is fake. It is bad breath. Come on, somebody. See, we need the breath of God. Jesus put it this way. When the devil tried to tempt him and the devil said, come on, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And sometimes we think about our bread and our needs, and all we do is think about bread and we think about today. But the Bible says, Jesus says, you can't just live with bread. You've got to live by the word that comes from God. And I'm asking God, breathe afresh on us. And don't just let us do what you told us to do in the past, but let there be something of the fresh air of God. Come on. Are you with me, church? We all need to hear from God individually. We're not just eating bread. We're not just about living and making life about us. But we need the Ruah of God where we don't just live on yesterday's revelation. Let me show you what that looks like, because this is a message not just for our generosity of what we do today, but this is a message for our lives. Did you know that God called Moses into the promised land to lead Egypt, to leave Israel out of Egypt and to bring him into the promised land? God chose a leader. Whenever God's going to do something, he'll do it through a leader. That's why the enemy hates godly leaders. He'll do everything he can to attack leaders. That's why we should pray for leaders. Amen. So let me show you what this looks like, because Moses committed a sin. Yes, a sin. And the sin was so grievous in the eyes of God, even though Moses made it to heaven, he never got to lead the people into the place where God told them to take them. We know he went to heaven. The Bible says he appeared, Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus at the Mount Transfiguration. We know that Moses was a godly man, but even this great leader, Moses, made a mistake. And I want to show you what it is. Watch this. In Numbers 20, it says, on the first month, the whole Israelite arrived in the desert of Zin, and there they stayed at Kadesh. And now there was no water for the community, for the people were gathered in opposition to Moses and to Aaron. And they quarreled with Moses and said, if only we died where their brothers fell before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness? We and our livestock should die here. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to this terrible place? There's no grain, there's no figs, there's no grapevines, and there's no water to drink. Can I just tell you, when I read that, I understand that whenever you lead God's people, they will always be complaints. No matter how good it is, people, and I just understand, there will always be times when people will complain. Just as a leader, if you can't deal with that, if you're running a business and you're tired of all the complaints, I just want to tell you, Moses had it. They complained to God about this situation. And it's just part of the price of leadership, because people will complain. As a pastor of the church, I'm aware there'll be, and sometimes on those complaints, there may be something that we need to listen to that we can be better than. Amen? Just live above it. And so look what happens. I love this here. It says, because I think about in today's world, why would anybody lead in today's world? Because people love to take shots. Well, I'm thinking to myself, well, it takes a real leader to be willing to lead and stand up, and thank God for leaders who are willing to stand up and live above the opposition, live above the complaints, and not get bitter. Amen. And it says, Moses and Aaron went before the tent of the meeting and fell face down. The glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then Moses said, take your staff and your brother Aaron and gather the assembly together. And everybody say, speak to the rock. Come on, every campus, say, speak to the rock. Everybody say, speak to the rock. Before their eyes, and it will pour out its water, and you will bring forth out, you will bring rather water out of the rock so they can live. Now watch this. So Moses took the staff from the presence of the Lord, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring forth water out of this rock? And then Moses raised his arm and he what? Struck the rock twice with his staff, and water gushed out. And the community and their livestock all drank. Look at verse 12. But the Lord said to Moses, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land that I will give them. What did God tell him to do? Speak to the rock. What did he do? He struck the rock. You kind of think, God, aren't you being a little bit pedantic here? God, aren't you being a little bit hard on Moses? But if you actually understand, this is not the first time God spoke to him about this. This is the second time. You see, this time, and listen what Moses did. He said, must we? In other words, Aaron and I, it's always a big mistake for a leader to take credit for supernatural things that only God can do. He was implying, I'm going to have to bring forth water out of the rock to shut you miserable, moaning, groaning. There's other words I could use, but I won't, because we're in church. And I wouldn't, because it's just not my nature. But I want you to hear it. He got full of pride. He's so successful. He's the man. He's going. He's growing. He's moving. He's shaking. You hearing me? Must I bring forth water to keep you rebels happy? So he struck the rock when Moses said, speak to the rock. Look at the first time in Exodus. This is the first time they're coming out of Egypt. They're going into the promised land. Look what the Bible says. And I deliberately put the second one first because I want you to look at the first story now. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from the place as the Lord commanded them. And they camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. But Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty. for water. And it says they grumbled against Moses and they said, why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die? Here's the thought, by the way. Just if you're going around the mountain, you're repeating the same situation as you were 10 years ago. When you don't learn the first time, God will see to it. He'll give you another opportunity to learn. You can go to three different churches and you'll find that you'll leave all those three different churches for the same reason you left the first one, because you didn't learn the lesson in the first one. You can go through three different marriages and discover that if you don't learn the lessons of the first one, you'll never go on to the second one. You can have five different jobs, and every time you get a job, your boss is a jerk. There's somebody you're working with that drives you out of you. God is trying to teach you something, and God will see to it. You just go round and round the mountain until you learn the lesson. That's for the people, but watch what happened. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do? These people are almost ready to stone me. Then the Lord said to Moses, go out in front of the people, take some of the elders with you of Israel, and take in your hand the staff which you struck the Nile, and I will stand before there and go before you in the rock of Horeb and strike the rock. And water will come out of for the people to drink. So Moses did as the Lord commanded, and water flowed. You see, the first time God said, Moses, I want you to strike the rock. Yeah. And Moses did it. He struck the rock, water flowed out. Second time, okay, that first time was fresh air. Are you hearing me? The second time, he went on stale air. He did the thing God told him to do first, which is yesterday's. Think about this, my friends. Let's not just do what God told us to do yesterday. This is a new opportunity. This is a new season. This is a new legacy. And if we can all actually breathe fresh air today, we'll look at this next 20 years with a freshness and excitement in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen. Oh, God, breathe fresh air on your church in every campus. Come on. The mistake the second time was, must we bring water? They took the credit for the supply of heaven. The mistake the second time was, God said, listen to this, Moses, speak to it, don't strike it. The first time was strike it, second time was speak to it. Moses, you've got to hear what I'm telling you to do today and you've got to obey me. Because if you do what I told you to do yesterday, it'll be toxic, it'll be vanity. Come on, somebody say amen. Let's not live off an old word. And church, I think, in terms of what this next 20 years looks like, these are moments. This is a word. What we find in our heart to do today, those who have been with us now for 20 years or more. Sharon and I celebrated their 20th anniversary in pastoring what we now know as Wave Church. And I'm thinking about those who have been with us on the old 20 years. And I'm thinking, God, please, I'm begging God, please breathe fresh air on us. Yeah. Don't let this be stale. Don't let this be what you did yesterday. Amen. Let's hear something fresh from heaven. And this message applies to every area of your life. When was the last time you heard from God? When was the last time God spoke to you about your children, about your marriage, about your business, about your heart? Amen. Someone says, I don't feel like I've heard God lately. That's so simple. I can help you. Just do the last thing He told you to do. Because sometimes God will not give you another instruction until you get around doing the last thing He told you to do. Come on, someone say amen. Amen. So I've painted the picture as good and as large and as compelling as I know how to do as a pastor to encourage you to stay with us on this legacy now, to believe God, to hear from heaven. What would He say to you? And what we commit today, literally, will determine, I don't believe just what happens this year, but sets the tone for the next 20 in Jesus' name. Church, how many want the fresh air of God? Come on, every campus. How many want God to speak afresh to us?
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.